deep respect and appreciation for everyone. I'm going to jump right into this because I think time is the most precious gift that we have. I want to talk about facing the shadow of 9/11. After a second stolen election and another murderous assault upon Iraq, the dark side of the U.S. government should be obvious. Yet, when confronted with news of a terminal illness, disaster, individuals experience a range of emotion, the first being denial. Behind denial lies fear. Fear, the mind killer, destroys rational thought. War itself is recognized as collective insanity. Wars, however, are not spontaneous. They are planned. They serve powerful interests. Aggressors are generally trained mercenaries following orders. Historically, wars are engineered, benefiting the merchants of death and financiers. In Yugoslavia, the IMF and the World Bank prepared the way for the dismemberment of the country. Victors claim the spoils while victims pay the price. And the most lucrative business on earth is war. The world wars were marked by the rise of national fascism. The millennium is witnessing the rise of transnational fascism, where imperial powers share in the looting of conquered nations. In the era of globalization, new alliances pit corporate interests against the vast majority. Aung San Suu Kyi wrote, "It is not power that corrupts, but fear, fear of losing power and fear of the scourge of those who wield it." Behind the trappings of wealth, in limos and mansions, are a frightened group of people who fear losing power and control in an increasingly unmanageable world. Protesters converge on significant gatherings where global policies are decided. The shutting down of the World Trade Organization in Seattle in 1999 was one of a series of global protests. A major protest was scheduled for Washington, D.C. in September 2001, but was canceled in the wake of 9/11. 9/11 was a desperate act by a frightened few trying to cling to power, using their traditional methods of war and terrorism to frighten people into silence and submission. The Patriot Act mirrored the Enabling Act that Hitler passed after the Reichstag fire. Both were designed to dismantle democracy. Similar legislation has been passed in other countries to relabel dissenters domestic terrorists. Recently, in India, people rescinded the anti-terrorist legislation. In the United States, four states and 357 cities and counties have passed resolutions against the Patriot Act. The war on terrorism benefits the arms, security, surveillance, oil industries, Bechtel, Halliburton, the Carlyle Group. Bogus terror alerts, war, have terrorized people. But no one can remain in panic mode. When people come back to their senses and think critically about the war on terrorism, they should be able to see that it really is a war of terrorism against Americans and the world. The big lie cannot stand. Cheney believes, as did Napoleon, you don't have to suppress the truth forever, just until it doesn't matter anymore. The truth does matter now. The sooner people recognize it, the greater our chances of getting humanity off of the warpath. Rachel Corrie's father told a story about her. This was the young American woman who was killed by a bulldozer as she stood to protect the houses of Palestinians as part of the international solidarity movement. As a very small child, just age two, Rachel had posed a question to her father. Is being brave part of growing up? Many Americans have no idea of how much violence the U.S. government has sponsored and do not know how to stand up against it. Rachel understood this and stood in solidarity with the people of the world and stood for the values that America is supposed to stand for, inspiring a new generation of activists. At the International Citizens Inquiries into 9/11, we showed that the government lied about 9/11, destroyed evidence, engaged in a major cover-up, and was complicit in the attacks. Our largest obstacle in getting out the facts to the press and the public has been fear and denial, not lack of evidence. However, each day, more and more people are coming to the conclusion that 9/11 was an inside job. And I have to add, this has been one of our most powerful tools. We've created over 4.5 million of these. And I would love to give this entire box to everyone here to share with folks. And what they have are the key websites about 9/11. And they've actually become a community currency. And we share them and network and swap them for videos and books and just put together the pieces of a puzzle. And this has helped to build a real vibrant 9/11 truth community. And I can't go into, 100 hours of testimony and everything, but I'm going to give you a just short snapshot of 9/11. In brief, Al-Qaeda was created by Saudi Arabia and the CIA through Pakistan's ISI and remains a CIA asset. This is very well detailed by Michelle Chasudovsky. The money man behind 9/11 was meeting with top U.S. government officials during September 2001. These included Porter Goss and Bob Graham on the morning of the attacks. These were the people in charge of the official inquiry into 9/11, and they were the people who should have been investigated for their role. And Porter Goss has since then been elevated to the point of the director of the CIA. And I'm going to go over 10 minutes. So I'm going to skip all the details. But the so-called independent commission was worse than Warren Commission. Henry Kissinger being appointed was a clue. And the commissioners had major conflicts of interest, particularly oil, and they failed to address most of the key questions. The failure of the military to intercept the hijacked planes is explained by the multiple war games being conducted that morning. One deployed fighter resources to northern Canada and Alaska. Another placed false blips on radar screens. The CIA was conducting a drill to respond to the simulation of a plane crashing into the National Reconnaissance Office, and a live-fly hijack drill was underway. The multiple exercises combined to make it impossible for fighter jets to interfere with the attacks. Cheney was in command that morning, issuing orders. And the book Crossing the Rubicon, The Decline of the American Empire at the End of the Age of Oil by Michael C. Rupert, and the documentary The Great Conspiracy, the 9/11 news special You Never Saw, by Barry Zwicker, detailed Cheney's role in 9/11 and key facts that should have been headline news years ago. Individually and collectively, Americans need to be brave, to grow up, to overcome fear, to think, to face the harsh realities that the rest of the world has witnessed. There's a disparity between American ideals and American policy. People are rising up in the United States, around the world, against war, and the dominant institutions, the IMF, the World Bank, the World Trade Organization, transnational corporations, that clearly benefit a global elite at tremendous human cost and threaten the planet. The project for a new American century, the neoconservative cabal occupying the White House, wrote in detail of their imperial desires and the likelihood of resistance from the public. They wrote, "The process of military transformation is likely to be a long one, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. 9/11 was the event they needed to pursue the militarization of the country and world conquest. It was also a gamble, and it depended upon an acquiescent media to pull it off." John Galtung, a peace activist, when asked about the differences between Americans and Russians, said, "In Russia, when they hear the party line, they know it's the party line. In America, they don't." Or, to quote William Randolph Hearst, "News is something somebody doesn't want printed. All else is advertising." In war, the first casualty is truth. The quick passage of the Patriot Act, the rush to war against Afghanistan, Iraq, counter-terrorist wars against other countries, the construction of homeland security, the revamping of the intelligence agencies, the construction of a global security state are being hurried through Congress as quickly as possible. But the speed of the changes, the psychological war directed against the public, has formed a crucible which is forging a vast resistance movement. And the craziest conspiracy theory of all was linking Iraq to 9/11. Which Cheney used to sell his war. So 9/11 is actually the Achilles heel of a failing paradigm, already suffering from the loss of credibility and legitimacy. Children can see the emperor has no clothes, and the kids love these. It was logistically impossible for a lone nut to assassinate JFK in 1963. 19 guys with box cutters just couldn't possibly have outwitted the multi-trillion-dollar Defense Department and brought down all those buildings. What's happened is that people have raised questions that officials cannot answer, and Bush has a new rule. No more than one question, because he can't deal with them. Through a vast cooperative effort, researchers from all over the world, activists in a multitude of cities, filmmakers, writers, artists, musicians have challenged the big lie. The spotlight on the darkness has exposed the secrets, the crime, the treason committed at the very highest level of government. The 9/11 truth movement was nurtured by a free flow of information, analysis, thousands and thousands of people helping one another to put together the pieces of a very complex puzzle. Truth and courage are needed to overcome fear and recognize the deeper problems that we face, which are beyond left and right, beyond rich or poor, beyond gender or race. Our current debt-based monetary system concentrates wealth and power while destroying the planet. It's only supported by belief in the current system. When faith in the United States government collapses, dollars are likely to collapse as well, with far-reaching effect. Fear paralyzes people who cannot imagine a better alternative to the dysfunctional, criminal financial system which surrounds us. Money, next to brute military force, has been the most powerful tool of empire. But money is very little understood, how it's created, how it works. The antithesis of the gift, the debt-based money relies on fear and scarcity to maintain its value and its power. The war economy fails to recognize the value of life. The failure of the financial system, the totalitarian corporations, the institutionalized violence, however, is giving life to a more powerful force. Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Cesar Chavez, Rachel Corrie, the people of Cochabamba, indigenous people throughout the world are beginning to awake to the power of truth, nonviolent resistance, solidarity with others, recognition respect and cooperation are essential survival skills and bring joy, meaning, and hope to our lives. We're grappling with the big lie versus truth, fear versus courage, war versus peace. We must stand up to the frightened necrophiliacs who believe that if they cannot own or control something, they have the right to kill it. There's a rising consciousness that the hope of the world is to acknowledge and respect all people, that real security, real genuine security, means healthy relationships between people and planet, not the military domination of the many by a dysfunctional few. Americans should rein in their own government and call for compassionate impeachment and the lifting of the American boot off the throat of the world. Imagine redirecting the world's resources away from killing and controlling the planet to healing. The time for a global truth, peace, and justice movement is now. To help others overcome fear, we must help light the path and encourage the emergence of genuine community that comes from the free exchange of gifts.